up, everybody. It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. It was about, 12:30 last night. I saw Brian Mitchell in the tunnel of Paycor Stadium, and he just smiled this big smile and said, "We got a quarterback, boy." Good morning, B. How do you do?
What up, Jay? How you doing, brother?
Oh, man. I've gotten about a million texts from people trying to describe what happened last night. And, B, I asked Jaden if he was surprised by the level of success, and I think he gave such a good, honest answer that he said yes and no. I've never done this before, so on some level it's surprising when we have this level of success.
Mm-hmm.
But I put the work in and prepare myself to do this at such a level that I know that I can. And yeah. I love that answer so much, and I think it's so damn accurate about everything we saw last night.
Well, I think the whole thing about it is, there's no guarantee that you're going to have the success when you put in the work, but you damn well won't have it if you don't put in the work. So,
right.
And the thing about it, like, everyone was looking at, oh, look at Monday night, they got a full crowd. He played in front of 105,000 at LSU, okay? He went to a lot of SEC stadiums that had 79 and 80 and 90,000. There was 62,000 last night. That's not much for him.
We said it over and over again. I mean, the kid last year took the LSU Tigers into Tuscaloosa for an 8 o'clock game.
Yeah.
That was significantly louder than the Bengals game was last night.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
A area of concern I did have going into the game anyway was if they get down early, you don't want him to feel like he has to press, right?
He went right down and got a score.
Well, the Bengals scored immediately.
Yes. Yeah.
The Bengals went 6 plays, 71 yards, touchdown. Jamar Chase, 41 yards, boom.
Yeah.
And in that moment, you're like, oh, okay, this could get intense. But no, they got the ball back, 10 plays, 70 yards. B-Rob punches it in from the 1, tie game.
Yep.
And what I have said throughout, and I've said this on air and off, is when the actual players are on the field, you don't know what's going to happen. And I thought Jaden was the right pick at number 2 all along. I think it's only 3 games in, but I wonder how Chicago feels right now. But regardless, for Washington, I thought Jaden was the pick all along. I thought his athletic skill, the accuracy, the way he can win from the pocket and dissect you with his legs.
Mm-hmm.
But you still never know what's going to happen until these guys get on the field. But what did change for me is since he was drafted in late April – through the end of training camp, I'm not going to pretend I know him well, but I've now spent enough time with him. I've asked him questions. I've seen him interact in the locker room with his teammates, with fans at camp and at games. Like, you start to spend enough time around a person. And, Brian, what I told anybody that would listen is, I don't know what happens on the field, but I know he's absolutely the right dude to lead a team and to put the work in and to put them in a position to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel more confident in that than maybe ever.
Well, yeah, I think when you watch that game last night, from the precision passing to the
precise,
from the unbelievable playmaking ability when they needed a first down, and he had the ball in his hand, they got it. When he had to make a decision, a smart decision to get the ball to the right guy, he did it. He slid last night, people, so he does know how to slide. So I don't want to hear that crap any damn more. But he also showed you, he knows, like, the subtleness that he has when he's about to take a hit. When you see a person, it's totally different than when they hit you, like, in a pocket. Because the touchdown pass he threw to Terry, he got hit.
Rocked.
He got rocked. And I think that was the hardest hit he took the whole night. But he has a subtle way of just turning just a little bit to where they don't hit him full on. But the dude makes – he makes plays – he throws the ball where it needs to be, but we've watched him, and I think it was I don't know if it was Tanner or Brian last night. They asked Luke. He said, "Man, he doesn't mind getting on people, does he? If you're a veteran or not, if you make a mistake, he's going to let you know about it. But he does it in like a respectful way, but a way where I need you to do better. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So young people. Young people like to wait till someone let them know that they're a leader. No, if you're a leader, you're a leader. And that dude has been a leader since he stepped in the building.
B, I think, you know, we don't know how good the Bengals defense is, and maybe they stink, but to go to their place on Monday night when everybody prior to that game was like, man, the Bengals are still a Super Bowl contender. Once they win this game, they'll get hot and get going. So,
who they?
Yeah. they are who they are at this point.
They were playing that late in the game when they were down by five and we're getting the ball back. They got on my nerves a little bit, that who they think going to beat them Bengals.
Yeah.
The Saints came with who that first.
Yeah.
That's a copy.
That whole thing is bizarre. and frankly, I just choose. Like, I am sure the information of how Cincy does the same thing New Orleans does is readily available. I just don't care. here's what really stood out to me, B. So, the Bengals score early in the third quarter to make it 28-20. So all of a sudden, what had been a two-score game is a one-score game.
Yeah.
And then Washington gets a drive, and they put it together pretty well, but it's the only time in this game they get held to three. Now, they took a lot of time off the clock. 12 plays to go 46 yards, 6.5 minutes.
Every time they got the ball, they took time off the clock.
But you wondered in that moment, okay, now it's an 11-point lead. It's still two scores, but that's the first time they haven't been able to score a touchdown. And the way offensively the Bengals were moving the ball, you're like, all right, this is a little this introduces a little bit of nerves into the scenario. Sure enough, Bengals march down the field, 5 plays, 70 yards, 1:48 to make it 31-26. They had a decision to make there. They go for two. They don't get it. Jeremy Chinn breaks up the pass at the back of the end zone. The Bengals crowd screaming for interference. I thought it was just a really solid hit. Maybe it was their hair early, but I'm glad they didn't call it.
But the referees have been horrible all year. They were horrible against us. They're going to be horrible against somebody else sometime.
So then all of a sudden, B, it is – it's not only a one-score game, but one score gives them the lead. It's 31-26. It's the first time the Bengals have really been sniffing at the lead. And the way they just went down the field, you're like, oh, man, if they get another chance, this thing's going to go really fast.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens? Daniels gets the ball. Offense gets the ball. We're now deep into the fourth quarter, okay? And there's some thought if they get a field goal that makes it 8, the Bengals are still in this thing. And the drive starts terribly.
Yeah, what a penalty.
Two for 50 minutes of this game. For 5 minutes of this game. And no penalty.
The stat popped up on the phone. I showed it to Santana. And then bang, bang, 2 penalties.
B, I want to go play-by-play on this because the absolute stones from Jaden Daniels and from the offense as a whole, the absolute stones required for this drive in that scenario are so damn impressive. So, first and 10 from the 30, bang, penalty on Zach Ertz. Mm-hmm. False start, 5 yards, okay? Now we're at first and 15. Daniels connects with Ertz for 4 yards. He fumbles.
Yeah.
He fumbled the damn ball.
Yeah.
And Allegretti jumped on it. Okay, so, like, the amount of deep breaths required right now are pretty significant. 2nd and 9, Daniels connects with Ertz again. At this point, Ertz and Daniels realize that on this little option route, every time Ertz would break in, he was wide open. And and it was, like, 8 to 12 yards whenever they needed it, right?
Yeah.
There's a number of storylines that were destroyed in the process of this game. We'll get to the storyline graveyard earlier. So, they pick up the first down, 1st and 10 from the 43. B-Rob, 6-yard gain. Now the clock is really starting to tick. Things are starting to work here. 2nd and 4, Daniels is a little quick 2-yard gain. I don't even know if that was a design run. 3rd and 2, this was a huge, huge conversion. 3rd and 2 at about midfield. Jaden finds Terry for 4 yards. Obviously, there are bigger plays to Terry, but those two connecting on a huge third down, that is growth, man. That is – things are really starting to happen. All right, so now it looks like they're going downhill. It looks like things are improving. 1st and 10 from the 45. Bang, false start on Deami Brown, of all people, your receiver going early. 1st and 15 from the 50. Daniels takes a sack. Trey Hendrickson finally gets involved, beats Brandon Coleman to the inside. B-Mitch, you're now looking at 2nd and 20.
Yeah.
2nd and 20. You go Daniels to Deami for 8. Daniels to Deami again for 8. 4th and 4. I thought the call was the right decision all along. 4th and 4 from the Bengals 39. If you try to kick that, you're talking about a 56-yarder in, you know, that it was kind of wet, humid air throughout the night. If you make it, you're only up 8, and that's a one-score game. If you miss it, you're giving them the ball at the Washington 44. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And your defense hasn't stopped them all night. So, like,
that's a discussion.
That's a conversation to have.
Yeah,
we got 4 hours. Right now is the good stuff. I love the decision there, and there didn't seem to be much wavering, much waffling on going for it. And like I mentioned previously, Zach Ertz on that in-breaking option route could get what he wanted, what he needed, and sure enough, Daniels finds Ertz for 9 yards, first down from the Cincinnati 30, and at this point, the clock's all the way down to 3:43.
Oh, yeah. I was looking at the clock more than I was looking at the play on the field, to be honest with you.
Sure, because I kept wondering, okay, if they could get this under the two-minute drill, they might not have to give the ball back at all, and the final just finishes, they're able to just clock it. That doesn't end up happening. So you get first and 10 from the 30. Brian Robinson, little one-yard game, but at this point they're just trying to bleed the clock.
Yeah.
They run B-Rob again. I couldn't help but notice, Brian, late in this game when they really needed it, all these runs were between Biotish and Wiley with Cosme in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. You can see which side they thought they could really count on more. And I don't think they were wrong for that assessment either. Biotis is so damn good, by the way.
He is good.
So now, this was a little concerning. Going to third down, Washington calls a timeout because if they can get the first down here, you're in business. And you got to pass this thing because you're kicking regardless. Like, you were firmly in, let's pick up this first down and win the game territory. Jaden. They come to the line of scrimmage, and it's a mess. Do you remember that, Brian?
Yeah.
Like, coming out of a timeout in this
they
kind of
moment.
They had
about 7 seconds left on the clock.
I mean, I understand they were trying to bleed the clock, but damn, they got really close to a procedural thing there. And you know what? It doesn't freaking matter. Jaden identified cover zero. He identified Terry one-on-one on the outside. Throws just an absolute dime. I mean,
I'm going to take you back. Miami, they were throwing the ball in the trash can.
Yeah.
Who made it? Twice. Jaden. Nobody else hit it. That's the pass he threw right there.
Dude, I mean, that throw from where – were you? Maybe you were down on the field at that point. I was still up in the press box. And it was kind of to the opposite corner from where we were sitting. And you see the loft on it. And I think – you know, everybody's kind of reacting in the moment, and I think some folks were like, oh, he's just throwing it away. And I was like, I don't think so, because the way that ball was lofted, you could tell it was coming into the corner of the back right of that end zone.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you're watching, you could see Terry has a little bit of a step. And when they get to that end zone, and, you know, from where my vantage point, and I'm not looking at the TV replay, I'm looking in person live, and you see Terry come down and pop up holding that ball, and then you see the ref throw his hands up, signal touchdown. And, of course, you got to wonder if all the feet got in. You got to watch the replay eventually.
Well, one
that
knee,
stadium just went silent.
1 foot came down, then the knee. When the knee hits, game, yep. Ball game over. That's touchdown.
Ball game over.
Yep.
I mean, that play, that throw, all of it was just so – so impressive. This whole game for Jaden. I mean, dude.
91.3% completion ratio.
Unheard of. I mean, some of the statistical things that are coming out are just unheard of.
Yeah.
I tweeted a bunch of these out last night. Shout out to Charlie Mulet with the Skins PR. He does a great job of at least sending some like interesting stats and facts along after the game. I mean, they scored 21 points in the first half, B. That's the most in the first half since 2018.
Mm.
They had 3 rushing touchdowns in the first half. That's the first time they've had 3 rushing touchdowns in the first half since you were playing for them.
Wow.
That was the 99 team. Hell, I wonder if you got one of them. I know Terry was like a touchdown machine back then. But I wouldn't be shocked if you had one of them. All right, listen to this. And for, like, I know we got a lot of listeners that span a lot of ages, right? But for our young listeners, for my man Jeff, try to understand the scope of this, okay? Try to understand the size, the magnitude of this. You already said it. Jaden Daniels completed 21 of 23 passes for a 91.3% completion percentage. That's the highest completion percentage by a rookie in a single game ever. In NFL history. Yeah. Ever.
He had more touchdowns than he did incompletions. Think about that. He had more touchdowns than incompletions yesterday.
As far as Commander Washington history, that's the highest completion percentage for a game ever. They've been playing football. This organization has been playing football since 1932.
100 years.
Sonny Jurgensen. Like highest completion percentage ever. And dude, this was not – you remember there were a couple games there where, like, Mark Brunell threw it underneath, like, 11 straight times and broke a record.
Yeah,
or John Beck threw it to Roy Helu in Toronto, like, 17 times and broke a record. This wasn't that. This was not dink and dunk. This was down the field. I mean – that's another storyline graveyard.
And
that,
if
they don't have any depth
to
the offense.
The two incompletions yesterday, the one to Terry that I think he expected Terry to go straight up. Terry broke it off, but he was getting hit. He was getting pressure, so he had to let it go. The other one to Terry that was out of bounds, he was throwing the ball away, basically.
Yeah.
So what if he had a little bit more time on those? Maybe he goes 23 of 23.
I mean,
just think about it though, because Terry broke more like a flatter post route, and I think Jaden was expecting him to go up the field, but he was wide ass open. He was wide open on that one.
One more, and I think Jaden is at the front of the compliment here, but I think you got to talk Cliff Kingsbury. You got to talk about this O line. You got to talk about this run game. You got to talk about these wideouts, these tight ends, all of it. Washington is the first team in the Super Bowl era to have back-to-back games with zero turnovers and zero punts. B, they've been playing the Super Bowl for 54, 55 years.
Yeah, I called Tress and left him a message. He'll probably call me when he lands. I said, look, bro, you got to stop all this freeload, man. I mean, two damn games, you haven't punted yet? What the hell is going on with you?
B, do you know what Tress did last night?
Probably just went inside, changed clothes, kept moving.
No, I'm going to send you the video. I got to post it. I came over to talk to him. And so he was like about to get in the shower. I was like, "Yo, I want to talk to you for TV if you're cool with it." He's like, "Yeah, just come back whenever." So I was like, "All right." And we're kind of bouncing around talking to all the other guys in the locker room. And finally I look at him and he's dressed and he's standing there. I'm like, "Oh, Kerwin, let's go talk to Trice." We go over there and he's holding this big bag of ice. And I'm like, what's the ice for? He's like, oh man, my hands are just so sore
from holding.
And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, yeah, my upper latimus, my lower, like all these. And I was like, wait, are you sore from holding the ball so much? He's like, yeah, with this offense, I really got to take care of my hands.
Hell, let's just think about it. The kid York, how many points did he have? 90-something extra points?
Oh, at LSU.
LSU in
yeah,
one year?
Dude, yeah. Oh, dude, listen, the high the Commanders fans are on right now is so unbelievable. This just feels very, very different to me. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you agree, Brian. I want to get to some audio. Dan Quinn, Jaden Daniels. There's so much to unpack from this game. But one thing I definitely want to do, and I feel like, B, in some ways we can, at least within our program and maybe the broader set of discourse surrounding the Burgundy and Gold, it's time to put some storylines in the ground. We're going Commanders Storylines Graveyard next.
Got a win last week, it wasn't pretty. We beat the Giants, boys lost, including Philly. All three. Now we about to take our talent up the center. And lead the jungle 2-1 is the mission. It's only when we stop that hate that we've been hearing. Go grab these cats up by their neck and bleed the clear. I'm speaking for the fans, we wanna kill for real. And go and get that
Come turn me up, Jeffrey. Yo, Jeff, they're 2-0 in games in the last two games you've made a song. Saying.
Keep it banging, boy. Keep it banging.
Got some feedback here. Our guy Juan El Poderoso. I don't know. I retweeted it last night. But I don't know if you heard the Spanish language call of the McLaurin touchdown late in that game. But our guy Moises Lunares did such an awesome job. I love a good Spanish language call. I don't really know what they're saying. It's just like a lot of Spanish and then Jaden Daniels and then a lot of Spanish. But I love it. El Poderoso just tweeted us both. He said, the way JP and Bemis just described the game-winning drive is exactly the way I want to tell my grandkids one day. The legend of Jaden Daniels was born. you know, last night really is approaching – I think Daniels presented himself on a national scale last night. Not that didn't already exist, because the kid had just won the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He's already out there, but it does change when you do it in the pros. You do it on Monday Night Football. And I think I think a lot of things changed last night.
He did it in a game on Monday Night Football against – a college guy, the guy went to his own college, a guy they consider top two or three quarterbacks in this league.
Yep.
Okay? Another Heisman Trophy winner. He did it while he was out there dueling against them, too. He had to go on his side and try to take care of his team, and I think he had a better game.
Dude, it's hard to – I mean, listen, Burrow also balled out. But their offense had – far more stagnant moments. I don't want to knock Burrow. He's 29-38 for 324 and three touchdowns. But I do think Jaden was the better quarterback on this night. I think he controlled the game more than maybe Burrow did. And whether that's Burrow's fault or not, that's a different conversation. But I think a lot kind of changed last night for Washington. And I think we can start with this notion that Terry McLaurin is going to be underutilized and never really get an opportunity. I think a lot of this was just a matter of timing and structure. And you did need Jaden. I mean, you heard Terry talk about this at length in different situations. Jaden had to start giving Terry chances when he had one-on-one, or even sometimes when he was in a one-on-one situation but with help over the top or a safety. And Jaden gave him those opportunities last night, and I don't think that's going back. That genie ain't going back in the bottle now that it worked. Terry finishes.
It's not going to go back in the bottle, but I think some games, if teams decide we're not letting him beat us, you got to go to somebody else. And I think other receivers stepped up last night and said, hey, I can be a viable option.
Totally.
I mean, Noah Brown, bro. I'm telling you straight up.
I like Luke. Luke did two things thing, I told people yesterday. I was expecting Luke to have a good game and that they should bet an Eckler anytime touchdown. Both of those hit. So you're welcome, whoever bet what I said.
Mm-hmm.
I think Luke is starting to figure some stuff out. I think Ertz really helps them, just kind of that veteran presence in the middle of the field. I like Brown, too. Brown caught all three of his targets for 29 yards last night. They got options.
Yeah.
They got options.
The thing of it is, though, like, I was talking about this last night where Cliff basically told us, with all those offensive minds on this team, he's adding to the offense he has. So basically they're implementing a brand new offense, not just the one he had before. And it takes a little time for that to start to hit. But if you look at it, they got some stuff that's working with that team.
Sure.
And I always feel like this, man. You know, yeah, you can be a team that's learning and growing. But hell, if you got chances to win some games while it's happening, do it. And they have a level of confidence right now to where, you know, offensively for sure, they're going to have some fun.
Hell yeah.
Mark hit me last night. He said, man, Jaden is what he presents is a young kid out there having fun. And I think that's how pro football should be played. Some people get a little too serious and uptight. It's still a football game. Have fun.
I love this from our friend Josh Norris, who is over at Underdog Fantasy and is one of the hardcore film bros in the world. He's tweeting this out, kind of going through last night's tape, where the play was out of 12 personnel, and the design is Kingsbury's working both seams because the ball's about in the middle of the field. And I'm quoting now, Norris says, ideally, Jaden tries to throw this to Sennett after moving the linebacker with his eyes. Instead, he scrambles for 5 yards. Even when Jaden is not perfect, he can be right. And I think we're starting to see that more and more and more. There's a reason the offense keeps moving, kind of regardless of the scenario. And a lot of that is due to Daniels and everything he can do on all levels of the field. And I think that is mm-hmm. – I mean, Brian, we haven't talked about it. Austin Eckler did not travel with the team last night. Yeah. Left the game with a concussion. I think there's – on a human level, there's just real reason for concern, and we're not going to speculate on this thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Eckler had been arguably their most explosive offensive player.
He had been killing people.
Killing people.
Yes.
And, dude, he was out. He was out. I mean, Eckler, I think, only played the first half, and he had 57 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah.
So imagine what the offensive numbers look like if Eckler doesn't get hurt, and, yeah. and he's still yeah. out on the field, you know?
Mm-hmm.
All right, but of specific storylines that died, I think that they can't get the ball to Terry, I think, is now dead. They clearly can. Will they every game? Will he have 100 yards and a touchdown? I'm not so sure, but it's not like there's some barrier there.
Mm-hmm.
Another barrier that was broken down, and this was understandably a talking point from the Giants game, was, oh, they can move the ball and get to the red zone, but they can't score.
They scored
plenty.
They scored a lot.
Another thing that to me ended last night was this notion that everything is horizontal and nothing goes down the field, and eventually that'll get bogged down. Last night was a down-the-field offense.
Yeah.
Maybe you could do the math for me. What is the – if he completed 21 passes for 250 yards, that's about, I don't know, 11
over,
yards.
Like 12.
It's probably here. I can probably find it. Yeah, it's 11 yards per attempt, roughly. That's moving the ball. The yards per completion is probably a little bit higher. I think there is just so much to be excited about. Another storyline that emerged during the week, the Bengals cornerback Cam Taylor-Britt, who had a hell of an interception in that Chiefs game. I'm not trying to knock him, but he decided to come out and say that Cliff runs this nice college offense.
What I call that, bulletin board material.
Sure was.
They didn't care about him one bit. They were throwing the ball no matter where, all over the field. They didn't shy away from him.
No, they did not.
I guess he wasn't very good in college because that college offense whooped his ass last night.
And then one more, Jaden slid last night. And he kind of laughed about it in postgame. And if you watch Dan Quinn on the sideline when he slid.
Nice job.
Yeah. So he could slide, folks. I just think last night answered so many questions and in turn opened the door to a lot of other questions. Don't look now, but they're tied for first in the NFC East.
Yeah.
And maybe that's silly. We're 3 games in. There's a lot of football left.
Hey, dude, to hell with that. When you're there, you have a little fun with it.
Sure. And when you look at some of these other teams, listen – I think Washington's offense can keep them in any game. We saw that last night. Now, unfortunately, I think Washington's defense can keep the opponent in any game.
I think the defense has to get better. And that is nothing to be knocking them. It's not being rude. They have to tackle better. They have to learn to get off of blocks. They have to be able to aggressively come up. And when you attack people to tackle them, you don't wait and let a guy run into your chest and then you fall backwards with him. That's another 2-3 yards sometimes. They have to get better. And then the covering, they got to get way better covering.
Yeah. I don't know that they're going to, but they do have to eventually. I'd also add defensively, you know, John Allen and Daron Payne, statistically, is just not there. Like, they have 5.5 tackles through 3 games combined. John Allen, in postgame last night, owned it. He's like, man, thank God for our offense. We weren't good enough. We have to get better. I don't think anybody is fooling themselves into thinking defensively they've been good enough, but they're lucky to have a rookie quarterback that is so dynamic, it changes everything. Here's what we're going to do. We've got to check in with the Aquarium boys. I imagine Jeff is riding high, naturally. Phone lines open at 11 a.m. I want to give credit to our guy Drew. Just sent me a tweet. Another storyline that died. We only need to show progress this year. Wins and losses don't matter. Drew says, I don't think the players and coaches believe that, and neither should the fans. Time to kill that line and start winning games. Last night changes a lot of things. I think progress and wins can go hand in hand, though. I don't think those are at odds with one another. Landfill, we made fun of Cam Taylor Britt.
Yes, we did.
The Bengals corner for calling Cliff's offense a college offense. Looked pretty damn good last night. How did our guy from Cincy try to walk this back?
Headlines with your comments about the Commanders offense this week. Do you regret what you said, and can you talk us through what happened from a defensive standpoint tonight?
No, ma'am, I do not regret it. And I didn't mean anything malicious out of the comment. It was just made bigger than what it was. Yes, I can eat my words, most definitely. We did take a L today, but as a team, it was sort of caught us off of very quick throws. He's very athletic in his thin plays. Yeah, that's how the game went, man. They stuck to their plan, and yeah, that's how it went.
He's still going with it?
Hey, man, listen, bro. Whatever. Joe Burrow threw a lot of quick throws, too. That's what people do. They want to throw it quick, get it out your hands. Who cares?
If the offense works in the NFL and in back-to-back weeks you haven't had any turnovers or punts and it's the first time that's happened in 50-plus years, doesn't that just make it an NFL offense? Right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm confused about something. One thing we haven't said, and he only kicked the one field goal last night. What a difference Seibert has made since he arrived.
Oh, awesome.
I mean, dude, the field goal he made was pretty damn important. You know, it was I don't know that everybody felt as confident, perhaps, when they were up 28-20 and they get bogged down at the 24, he comes out and just drills it, 42-yarder, was never really in doubt. There haven't even, with his kicks, there haven't really even been like the moments. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they've all been good. That matters, man, for an offense trying to build confidence. And now, I don't think they're trying to build confidence. I think it's just a confident group now.
Yeah. I mean, look, the thing about it is, I talked to Luke and Brian about this. When they're at practice, they know what they're capable of. And I'm sure after the first game against Tampa, they didn't reach what their capabilities are. Came back with the Giants, they were able to move the ball, but they weren't finishing. Last night, they finally finished. You know what I mean? And if they can find a way to be finishing, and it's not going to be perfect all the time, we know that. But if they can find a way to finish with touchdowns more often than not, they're in games. They put pressure on other teams. And if all of a sudden you're ahead, the ability for your quarterback to run and throw, extend plays, and the multiple options they have, it's going to give people problems. It's going to give them fits.
Totally. Totally. I think on that first deep shot Daniels threw to Terry, I think afterwards Dan Quinn picked Terry up on the sideline to, like, celebrate. I think there was such a sigh of relief for everybody to shut up about Daniels doesn't throw it to Terry and that nothing goes vertically. And if you go back and look, and this is actually funny, I just saw this on Twitter that Jay Gruden just posted this video and said, execution at its finest. The best part of when Jaden makes that throw, Terry is completely covered, but he puts air under it like Terry's been asking for and just lets him go get it, and he starts to separate. What receivers will always tell you, when the ball is in the air, Terry's at about the 40. The corner is almost a little bit ahead of him, but if he's even, he's leaving. Like, the receiver's able to accelerate. The safety help doesn't get there, and it just – what impressed me so much last night. Steve Sands always says, keep your poise, right, B?
Mm-hmm.
Jaden Daniels is all poise all the time.
Yeah.
And, like, nothing seems too big for him.
I agree. I mean, the thing about it, like, that like we talked about, and we talked about this last year with Sam, throw the ball to a spot. I don't care if a guy run a crossing route or a deep route. You don't throw it to the person. You throw it to a spot. And the receiver will find a way to get to that spot. And they said, well, Terry was at 20.7 miles per hour last night at his top speed going to get that ball. He's moving,
Scooting.
Dog. He's
Scooting.
Moving. Oh, yeah.
All right. Let's quickly say good morning to Jeff in Landfill because we may not have a chance for a while here. Good morning, Jeffrey. Good morning, Landini.
Hello. Good morning, fellas.
Good morning. All right, Jeff, hit the button. Open those phones up. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Jeff, now, they won the game last night. Last week, after they beat the Giants, you still wanted to do blame pie. We only did credit pie because they won the damn game.
Want to do blame pie today?
Yeah, what about now, Jeff?
To be honest, to be completely honest, yes. But I took something away from y'all. I learned something last week. We won yesterday. Let's bask in this glory for the next 24 hours, and we'll talk about the bad stuff later on in the week.
What did Coach Joe always say, B? It's hard to win in this league.
Yep.
It's hard to win up here.
Up here.
It is hard to win on Monday Night Football in Cincinnati with Ja'Marr Chase just able to run past everyone on the other side of the ball.
I must commend their fans, though. Their fans are not horrible.
B, some true nice, sports town.
I went to the sports bar afterwards, on our way walking back from the stadium to the hotel, and they were offering drinks. Man, y'all won. I'll buy you a drink. I'm like, really?
I thought you were getting an Uber. You very specifically said you were getting an Uber.
Nah, we decided to walk because it was only like 0.6 miles.
Yeah.
And it was about close. Seven of us walking, so we all walked together.
All right, we got a break. Phone lines are open, 800-636-1067. It is time for Credit Pies, baby.